In May of 2014, people in Milwaukee and around the country were shocked by a brutal knife attack on a 12-year-old Waukesha girl. Their shock deepened when it turned out her attackers were her school peers, ostensibly her friends.
The so-called Slender Man case also made people aware of a darker side of the internet. The two girls accused in the case are still awaiting trial as adults. Milwaukee Magazine's Matt Rohde wrote extensively about the case in the cover story of the January issue, and he explains where things stand.
Both of the girls' cases are on hold while the Court of Appeals considers an appeal on the circuit court judge's decision not to allow a reverse waiver that would send the cases back to juvenile court. So the defense lawyers on both sides are kind of staging a last stand. Defense teams have tried this case pretty thoroughly because it's an important case and a pretty significant one.
How did they ever get to be tried as adults in the first place? I mean, they were 11 and 12 when the crime was committed. How did anyone ever think that that was correct to try them as adults?
In Wisconsin, they were charged with first-degree and attempted intentional homicide, which is original jurisdiction that automatically gets pushed up to adult court. Unless you can meet some kind of esoteric standards that allow you through one statute in Wisconsin law to go back to juvenile. So they had to kind of face up to the serious adult system right from the first hearing.
If the appeal is granted and it is reversed back to juvenile, what happens then, both in terms of the case and in terms of what we will know about the case? Or cases, I should say.
Presumably, we would know a lot less than we do now. I actually don't even know if much of the record that transpired in adult court would suddenly become off the record and confidential and where the split would happen. It's pretty unusual that a reverse waiver is successful and something does go back to juvenile court. It tends not to work. So the odds of this one working aren't significant, but this would become somewhat less of a public spectacle. If it stays in adult court, you have a big adult trial. It would be covered by every media outlet in the country that has any interest in this sort of thing. It would be a huge spectacle, probably overshadowing anything we've seen so far. So juvenile, this would become a much more quiet matter.
So assuming it stays in adult court and we have that sort of trial spectacle that you're talking about, does anyone actually want that? Do the prosecutors even want something that big?
The prosecutors want to keep it in an adult court. Their view is that Morgan especially, the state needs to have as much supervision of and as much leverage over her as it can well through age 18 and 20s and most likely beyond if she was to be sentenced as an adult. So that's the state's position. So, I mean, they're fine with a big adult trial.
So if it were to be reversed back to juvenile, at 18 she would be basically released. Is that correct?
Unless you were to qualify for something called the Serious Juvenile Offender Program, which would allow supervision and incarceration into her early 20s. But the state, and you sort of get the feeling Judge Bowen isn't feeling like even that's quite enough. Because Morgan's, she's been locked up. She continues to have florid psychotic symptoms. When doctors go into interview, one of them asked her, "What would you do if you went home and Slender Man started talking to you again?" She says, "Well, I would have to do what he said. If that meant breaking into somebody's house and stabbing them to death, that's what I'd have to do." So the judge and the state hear this, and they think we need as much leverage over this girl as we can.
But I find it fascinating that they want the control, but here is this obviously ill person in lockup, in solitary confinement, in juvenile. Is it a detention center? Is that where she is?
Mm-hmm. It's just the county-run juvenile lockup.
And there's no psychiatric care provided. And so it's like they care about keeping her locked up, but they don't seem to care very much about treating her.
Kids in Wisconsin do have some rights to resist treatment. And you sort of get the sense, looking at the laws that are available, that normally how it works is the parents will kind of like exercise their authority. But with her being locked up like that, and most of the visits she has with her mom are there's a glass plate in the middle, and the facility apparently hasn't been able to impress upon her to accept the stuff voluntarily. So they would like a court order if there's going to be some kind of restraint or
I was thinking just psychiatric treatment in the sense of talking, like talk therapy or anything like that.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's been kind of a blind spot, too, and information has been made public, medication or therapy. There's been no signal that either of those are happening.
Which I find somewhat disturbing, that somebody who's obviously that ill isn't getting that kind of treatment, is just basically being locked up until they decide what kind of trial she's going to have.
Yeah, it's a little bit odd. You know, if you're an adult in state prison and you get a rotten tooth and state's got to pay for your dental surgery, you know, if you have a heart attack, taxpayers are paying all kinds of money for that. So one advocate I spoke to really thought it was just unspeakable that there would be a child who's not receiving mental health treatment. If she was to fall and break her arm, you know, she'd be getting treatment for that. So what's the difference?
So in all of the research that you did and all of the various parties that you talked to, what is your overall sense of this? Is this just something that nobody here's ever seen before and we don't quite know what to do with it?
It's a one in a billion case. I think in terms of human psychology and why people do bad things and this and that, I don't think there's really that much to learn from it because it's so unusual that it's very difficult to extrapolate, you know, to some kind of broader truth, I think. But it is an interesting stress case for our criminal justice system, for somebody who's that young and that sick, in some ways sick. It's not even entirely clear how exactly she's sick. I spoke to the chief child psychiatrist at the National Institute for Mental Health, who is questioning even the diagnosis of schizophrenia. Because Morgan functions pretty highly, you know. She can talk and converse and keep up with her schoolwork and had relationships with friends and her parents. They certainly didn't see a giant psychotic disorder crashing down on this girl from the outside. But meanwhile, she's certainly having delusions and hallucinations. And
had them for quite a long time from what you wrote, starting from when she was very young.
Right. Early elementary school, she was having open eye, broad daylight hallucinations, which is unusual. And it's certainly schizophrenia at that age is extremely unusual. But kids having hallucinations and even delusions before age 12 is kind of like their brains don't even have the full capacity, it's believed, to tell reality from fantasy until about 12 or 13. And so those distortions like that are much more common than people might think. So it's questionable, you know, what exactly is Morgan's proper diagnosis. And her symptoms may develop into something that's clearly, obviously, classical schizophrenia when she's 18, 19, 20, as is the common age for onset.
I was going to say that's the typical onset, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So with all of this, where do we go now? We're waiting for that appeal. When do you think, or did you get a sense of when that might happen?
The last time everybody sat down in court, in circuit court in Waukesha, the judge was getting kind of antsy because it was clear this appeal was going to happen. I think all parties are at this point are trying to expedite things to a certain degree while remaining thorough. And there was a trial date set for relatively soon before, but now that's being put off by the Court of Appeals. And this is a kind of appeal that happens while the case is still going regarding a specific decision of the lower court judge. So those tend to get moved through relatively quickly. But still, I think if there is a trial, it's going to be a pretty slow lead up just because everybody is crossing their T's and dotting their I's.
As they should.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge case for all kinds of reasons.
Right. There was a famous case from, I believe, New Zealand that made that movie Heavenly Creatures about two girls, and they ended up, one or both of them ended up attacking one of the girls' mother with a rock. And that was a complicated situation because the girls were having something of a romantic relationship as well, which doesn't appear to be the case this time. So that makes this case, I think, even more unusual, just because there wasn't even a...
It's not a crime of passion.
Right.
Yeah, there's
it
no...
It was just a crime of fantasy. It was, yeah.
Right. Well, you'll let us know when more comes along.
Right, I'll come back.
Absolutely. Well, Matt Rohde, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
Matt Rohde is senior editor of Milwaukee Magazine. His article on the Slender Man case is the cover story in the January issue.
We'll take a quick break now, and then some middle school students take on the challenge of designing the waste-free city of the future. You are listening to Lake Effect from WUWM.